Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Barcelona are two members of the Tech Data Compliance team. We have Janneke Ubben, who's Vice President, Global Legal Transformation, and Katarina Golonka, who is Vice President, Global Compliance. First, Katarina, Janneke, thank you both for taking the time to talk to us today.
You're welcome. We're happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Now, you're going to be talking at the 2021 Compliance and Ethics Institute on the topic Advanced Investigations in Multinational Companies. Janneke, these days it takes a great number of skills to conduct a complex investigation, which means a team that extends really well beyond the legal or compliance department if you're looking for all the skills you need. How should compliance professionals determine what skills and people they need on their investigations team?
Hey, yeah, Adam. So building up the investigation team is a key element, really, of any investigation. And one thing to keep in mind is the DOJ guidance about internal investigation. So according to the guidance, a company's process for handling investigations should ensure that investigations are properly scoped and conducted by qualified personnel. And in order to assemble a qualified and effective team, there are a few skills that are required. So one of the skills is language. That kind of speaks for itself, right? And so in different countries, different languages are spoken, and this is relevant when it comes to document review, interviews, et cetera. You know, and speaking about interviews, you know, interviewing employees is an art, and any investigator really needs to have these skills. So you need trained interviewers that are able to get you the information that you need. And one of the other skills is really is legal knowledge. So laws around obligations to report offenses, privacy laws, and labor laws vary in the different jurisdictions. And it's also important to know how enforcement authorities operate, so whether the investigated case, for example, may lead to DON raids.
I would also add, considering whether you will need IT forensics, because when you're capturing data and you're, you know, that email review will be required, you will need forensics experts to assist with this for a number of reasons, you know, one of them maintaining the proper chain of custody. Another point would be sector-specific knowledge. So, for example, construction or retail, or maybe there's some technical sector knowledge that you need to analyze or assess the evidence, etc. And then also, is there a specific area of expertise that you will need on the team? Do you need, you know, finance team experts to assist you? Maybe sales team, operations. Maybe you need an SAP expert on the team. So whatever is really relevant to the investigation at hand.
You definitely need a large team these days just because of the complexity of things. Now, one of the key decisions that needs to be made is whether the investigation is conducted by an internal team or if it's better to use an outside one. What are some of the criteria that should be made for making that decision?
So you really need to see what kind of internal resources you have available and how their skill set and their level of independence compared to the required skills. So one of these topics is really knowledge of the organization. So internal resources will obviously know the culture and the people are better and the investigation can proceed quicker because they will have easy access to systems, for example. The involvement of an external team may cause disruption to the business because they will not know the business and the people, so it will take them longer to get up to speed. And they also might not notice little things. So for example, an internal resource would immediately spot a red flag, seeing a certain communication between two people that shouldn't be communicating on a certain topic, but that might not be obvious to someone who's external. Another consideration is cost. I mean, it's clear that engaging external support will dramatically increase the cost of an investigation. And another consideration is availability. And even though you may have the required resources and skills in-house, they may not have sufficient time to support the investigation. Or even worse, I mean, they may tell you halfway through that they can no longer support the investigation. We, for example, had an investigation a while ago where initially we planned to complete the email review only with the help of internal resources. But then it turned out that we had to review over 30,000 emails. So it became clear that we actually had to revert to external support.
Yeah. And I'll add to that a few more criteria. I think, you know, language. Do you need specific language skills. So the external advisor will be able to provide support in any language you require, right? And the size of the team that is required to support you can be pretty much anything that you need. So an email review of any size, like Janika mentioned. While the resources that you have available in-house may not speak the local language, or the team may simply be too small to support the project that you need, the investigation that you need to be supported. Then forensic skills again. So, you know, if the evidence may need to be used for formal proceeding, this requires ensuring a proper chain of custody. So in general, a lot of companies will not have sufficient forensic skills internally. And even if they do have those skills in-house, they may not have the right tools because these are usually quite expensive. Then another point to consider is, do you need to ensure attorney-client privilege, right? When you know or suspect you will eventually end up reporting and defending the investigation in front of the regulator, you need external support. And in addition, you will need a law firm to ensure attorney-client privilege.
A lot to consider. Now, you are advocates for having a communications resource involved. When should they typically join the team, and what should their involvement be, Katrina?
Well, we believe that good communication throughout the entire investigation process is essential, you know, to the overall success of an investigation. And I think we understand communication very broad. We don't necessarily mean involving a person from a communication team, but rather think of ensuring proper communication from the very beginning of the process. So a short answer to your question would be, think of how you are going to communicate during your investigation as soon as possible, and it should be one of the first things that you plan as the person leading or supervising an investigation. And, you know, start with the internal communication. Even before the investigation starts, consider who needs to be made aware in terms of leadership awareness. So should the country management be informed, or does the matter need to get reported higher in the organization? It's always good to have some sort of escalation path. You know, perhaps some of the supervisory bodies should need to be informed, such as the audit committee. So depending on the size and the type of the company, but also the nature and then the gravity of the allegations, you may need to take different paths here. And also, you know, when and how we communicate with the suspects and witnesses may determine if we are able to retrieve evidence successfully. We've seen situations where informing subjects too early really jeopardized the integrity of the process and evidence was destroyed.
Yeah, and in general, we believe it's important to train HR and other teams that are potentially supporting an investigation, such as internal audit or corporate security, on when and what they can communicate. So we provide these trainings to these teams on a regular basis. And then for investigations that may have serious legal consequences, external communication is obviously critical. And in these cases, you should really involve someone from the communications team or potentially also external PR advisors. And you need to have a plan early on as to what information can be shared and when.
So let me follow up on something. You mentioned a couple of an external teams there. Now, an external team isn't going to be as familiar with the company, obviously. How can the compliance team help the external team be more effective?
I can speak from experience, actually, as I've been working as a forensic consultant for many, many years, and I know the challenges firsthand. So, you know, in the first hours or days, we have the saying, we don't know what we don't know. So it's really critical that we have someone on the inside to provide answers to the consultant, to the external support that you're having. So it needs to be a fairly senior person with certain tenure in the company who can easily obtain various information, who has access to certain systems, you know, knows or can find out where certain documentation is stored, knows who is friends with whom, who goes for a smoke together, so to say, etc. And often, you know, the person hiring an external consultant is not aware or experienced and fails to provide that support, expecting the consultant to kind of know it all as they are the experts. But on those very first days on a new case, it's like drinking from a fire hose for an external investigative team. They need to prepare as much as possible. They need to digest as much information as possible. And it is your responsibility as the person supervising the internal investigation to help them with that as much as possible.
Okay, so finally, Annika, the investigation has been completed and it's time to issue a report. What are the challenges with reports? Who should they be distributed to? What are the next steps? Those kinds of things. What should people be thinking about?
Yeah, and we have this saying on our team that if it wasn't documented, it didn't happen. So you may have conducted a very well-scoped, thorough investigation and discovered some very important issues, but if you don't have a good investigation report, you may fail to demonstrate this. And investigation reports really show that the company took the behavior seriously and acted appropriately, thereby also demonstrating a culture of ethics and a commitment to compliance. So there are a couple of key components to good reporting. And the first is really to be as concise and to the point as much as possible, which obviously is sometimes quite difficult to achieve when it comes to a large investigation. The report must document the investigative findings objectively and accurately, and it must indicate whether the allegations were substantiated, unsubstantiated, or, you know, there was simply insufficient information to confirm the allegations. And last but not least, it must provide enough information so that the decision makers can determine if they need to take further information.
And one thing to consider is, you know, the audience. So who should receive the report? Because sometimes there are people or functions that are affected by the investigation findings or need to be involved, let's say, in the disciplinary steps or decisions that were not really initially involved in the investigation, right? For confidentiality reasons. They were not really informed that an investigation was taking place. So determining who should receive the report can be a little bit tricky sometimes. And if you're sharing the report, you know, more broadly, then it's essential to ensure that it's kept confidential. And then, you know, when you're reporting to the regulator, that is a challenge of its own, and the process there will be much more complex and different. And if I can give just one advice, there is and determine as early as possible who should be taking decisions there around that process, right? Who should be reporting to the regulator, who should be making decisions about the timing of the reporting?
Well, timing of that is very important. Too quickly and you don't have a full report, too long and, you know, the regulator may find out more, get impatient, and that's always a difficult situation. Well, Yannicka, yeah. Katerina, thank you so much for sharing those insights with us. I'm sorry you won't be able to join us in Las Vegas, but happy that you'll be able to do one of our virtual sessions, Advanced Investigations in Multinational Companies, at the 2021 Compliance and Ethics Institute. Finally, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SEC and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.